at this hour. We, as I said on the tease for this hour, kind of continuing the book tour. You know, we had James Rosen in here and talking about his new book, One-on-One, with Dick Cheney, the former vice president. He called him the most powerful vice president in the history of the United States. I'm sure it's arguable, comparing different eras, but there's no question that he wielded quite a bit. And very interesting, his take on the sit-down. Well, someone else who is no stranger to presidential, vice presidential history is a Pulitzer Prize winning author, John Meacham, who has just put out a book. It's actually being released next Tuesday, but we certainly have a preview here of this book. And it's the personal diaries of the first Bush presidency. Of course, this would be President George H.W. Bush. And John Meacham joins us now on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. This book is called Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. And John, I have to tell you, I spent a few years ago, you and I and Andrew Jackson went on vacation 1 week, okay?
Did we have fun?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would call it fun, but boy, unlike on many trips, my eyes were open. And so you clearly, you know what it's like to try to get into the mind of someone who's been long gone. What was it like here getting into the mind of somebody who still is with us and very revered with new and insightful revelations?
Well, it's a great question. The key to this book is the president, former president, granted me access to his audio diaries that he kept as president.
Right.
So I could actually listen to him being president. It's as close as I'm ever going to get to being behind that desk in the Oval Office. The big surprise here is George H.W. Bush, often seen as aloof, aristocratic, a button down, is a very sweet and noble man, highly emotional, highly sensate, had a very tactile sense of situations. Very much believed that Washington, that the requirements of power required personal relationships. Believed in, as he once put it, you know, if you have a few minutes, just call up an emir in the desert somewhere and ask him how the weather is. Mm. Because if you call them when you don't need them, they'll be there when you do. And that, of course, paid off when Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait. Mm. He was able to get on the.
Now we're having some issues here. John, I hope we still have you there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, I was lecturing about Kuwait, so that's probably why the NSA cut me off.
Yeah, they got cut off there for just a moment. Yeah, you pick up that thought with his ability to connect with those relations when he didn't need them by laying the groundwork ahead of time.
Yeah, and then when you did need them, they would take the call and be more favorably inclined.
Sure.
You know, George H.W. Bush was the last president of the greatest generation. And whether it was his combat experience when he was 18 years old, his 18th birthday, he signs up to become a carrier-based pilot. He shot down out of the sky over a Japanese-controlled island at the age of 20.
Amazing to have survived. Amazing. Completely.
He and his wife Barbara lost a daughter to leukemia in 1953. This exposure to death, I think, fundamentally informed his view of life, which is that he had been spared to do something, and he wanted that his life to be commensurate to his salvation.
Well, it's interesting. You're getting a lot of attention this week, of course, by the quotes that involved the former vice president who we mentioned earlier in this show, Dick Cheney, and, of course, yeah. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who served a number of presidents and certainly a stalwart when it comes to the administration and cabinets, et cetera, et cetera. But does it go beyond that? I mean, a lot's being made of that portion,
yeah.
but do you get a lot deeper, and again, what you said, into what he was really about, not just how he felt at a particular moment about a particular person?
Oh, you know, this is a 834-page book. I don't want to scare anybody, but you know, this is not. I've been working on it for on and off for almost 17 years. You know, the president believes in history. He's fearless about history. He believes that he did the right thing. He believes that the historians will sort it out. He told me repeatedly as we did this that. I should call him like I saw him. And what you have here is a unique American life shaped and suffused with the values of the World War II generation to be a competitive, ambitious man, but someone with an acute conscience and a sense that to whom much is given, much is expected. To read this book, to experience this life, is to go back to an America where things tended to work. He was not a far-right conservative, but he was a centrist conservative. His goal always as president was to win bills, make them as conservative as possible. He had two houses, two Democratic houses of Congress, so he had to do everything he possibly could to make public sector legislation as conservative as possible. And I think he succeeded far more often than he failed.
And a generation, too. I think he had a sort of noblesse oblige, too, with his...
Oh, absolutely. More in common with Theodore Roosevelt mm-hmm. and Franklin Roosevelt, and even maybe the founding fathers, than he had with his own contemporaries.
And like with those, and maybe even more so than Roosevelt, honestly, because of the war, sharpened in battle well. John Meacham. John Meacham is a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He wrote he's written a number of wonderful books, but a great book on Andrew Jackson. Before I let you go, should he come on? You know Jackson better than anybody. These Jefferson Jackson dinners are all being renamed, and talk of taking him off of currency. Is that a good idea?
You know, I don't think so. He was an American who shaped the way we live now. He represented a key step in the development of democracy. First self-made president, first six presidents were either Virginia planters or in Adams from Massachusetts. He represented his forward, and we can't judge people by our moral standards. We have to judge them by the standards of their own day. And Andrew Jackson left the country in better shape than he found it.
Well said. John Meacham, author, Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. John, best of luck with the book. I don't think you're going to need it. Look forward to reading it very much. Thanks for being here.
I need it all, and I loved our vacation.
Great. We'll do it again sometime in northern Michigan. It's glorious. Andy Jackson loved it. I'm sure he would have as well if he had ever been there. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right, more coming up on the Morning Wake Up. We're going to go one-on-one with the newest councilman-elect from the 3rd Ward, City of Lansing. It's Adam Hussein. It's coming up, 1320. This is WILS.